This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to this evening's live edition of Hasten to Goodness. Indeed, we are live, so please give us a call. Those phone numbers should appear on your screen. And of course, don't forget to support us on social media, www.facebook.com/HudaTV, as well as Hasten to Goodness. And as usual, I'm joined by our respected Sheikh Kareem Abu Zayd. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh Kareem.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Sheikh, you know, in this day and age, some people, they are scared to accept the fact or to comprehend the concept that there are angels and jinn as they are the creation of Allah. Because they feel if they accept this topic, somehow they feel not modern enough. On the other hand, we have callers that come in to ask Huda when something, anything goes wrong in their life, they immediately blame it on jinn. So how can we understand the role that angels and jinn play in our lives, especially in the month of Ramadan when we talk about devils being chained and this sort of thing? What is the proper understanding so that we don't fall into one of these two extremes?
Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he mentioned that the Quran will be a book of guidance, he actually, the first condition that you must believe in the unseen. Alif Lam Mim, that's an oath. That's the best tafsir for this. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب. Indeed, or in fact, this book, or verily the Quran, is a guidance for المتقين, the righteous and the pious. And here is the first quality that you must believe in the unseen. When they define Aqidah Malik, or the belief system, or what is known to be Iman, they say that you must accept the news, the information that you were told, and you must implement the command. That is what Aqidah is.
Okay.
تصديق الخبر وتنفيذ الأمر. That you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran regarding angels and jinn. How dare you classify yourself or categorize yourself to be a Muslim and yet you're skeptical about it?
Right.
You must believe that those two worlds do exist, because they, the knowledge of that is known from the religion by necessity.
Okay.
Like we do have enough divine text, whether it is in the Quran or in the authentic sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to affirm their existence.
Okay.
So the denial of this would actually lead you to
disbelief.
What
if somebody said, before we take a short break, Sheikh, what if somebody says, I need a scientific proof, Sheikh, to believe, I need a scientific proof for this?
Well, normally that goes into the area of what comes first, is the intellect,
right,
or the revelation.
The aql and naql, yeah?
The aql and naql.
So we're knuckleheads. We take the naql.
We always go with the intellect, because I cannot see them. But
the revelation, you mean, the naql?
Naql, I'm sorry. I said the revelation.
Yes, okay.
That's what I mean by naql, is the revelation, okay, which is the Quran and the Sunnah.
Okay.
But the purpose behind us addressing this show this particular subject in our show tonight is striking that balance, that we cannot deny their existence. This is number one. Nor we should blame every single thing that happens in our lives on jinn.
Okay.
I think there is a middle way in between.
Okay.
That is where we need to strike that balance. I think the goal also today is to let the viewers know, especially once it comes to jinn, that there are means to protect yourself from them.
Okay.
It's not like that you're left as
a victim or something.
You have tools.
But
you have tools. But these tools are related to you becoming a servant of Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Satan on that day when he vowed to misguide us and take us astray or lead us astray, Allah said, إِنَّ عِبَادِي لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانٍ. whosoever becomes my servant, truly worships me, you have no authority over him. And this is the purpose behind the show tonight.
Okay, thank you. Wonderful, Sheikh. I certainly look forward to it. And you guys stay tuned for more Hasten to Goodness with Sheikh Kareem Abu Zayd. We'll be right back after the break. While we're on break, get your phones ready and give us a call. We're waiting to hear from you guys, so stay tuned. Welcome back to Hasten to Goodness. You guys give us a call. We are live, and we're speaking about jinns and angels and the role that they play in our lives with Sheikh Kareem Abu Zayd. Sheikh Kareem, thank you for being here and for picking and addressing this topic. I think it's an important one. Because Sheikh, to be honest with you, sometimes I'm a bit surprised that somebody would doubt their existence. Indeed, Allah created me and you and everything. So why would it be difficult for Him to create objects that you can't, me and you can't see? But in any event, perhaps you can just start by, Sheikh, if you don't mind, establishing the fact, using the Quran and the Sunnah, that they do in fact exist, and then we can go from there, inshallah.
Sure. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. Wa ashadu an la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah. Wa ashadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Brother Malik, I was going to say, since the time of Adam, that's why.
No problem.
I messed up your name. When Adam alayhi salam was to come into existence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the angels. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing the angels that I will place a vicegerent in earth.
Yes, subhanAllah.
Adam. So the angels were there when our father Adam alayhi salam was created. To begin with,
subhanAllah,
and actually the angels taught Adam alayhi salam the greeting, assalamu alaykum wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Also us, me and you, angels are there when we are also created
in our mother's wombs,
in the mother of the womb. We have hadith Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu an fi Sahih al-Imam Muslim that the stages of the creation,
yes,
and after 120 days an angel comes and blows the life, soul and the life in you,
subhanallah,
and writes the four famous things.
Yes.
So angels are there when life is triggered, and imagine angels are also there when life
is over.
Yeah. Angels of mercy or angels of punishment, based on the way that you conducted and lived your life, will be there, and the angel of death would come and extract the soul out of the body. Throughout the life, we have angels who write your good deeds and angels who write your bad deeds. We have angels who actually protect you. له معقبات من بين يديه ومن خلفه يحفظونه من أمر الله. He has angels who actually follow the human being and actually protect him by the leave of Allah, by the leave, the yes. permission of yes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So angels are there. Right. We actually read that if we recite Ayat al-Kursi before we go to sleep at night, an angel stands by your bed guarding you throughout until you wake up in the morning. We learn that angels will not enter your house if you have a dog inside it or if you have a picture of a living soul object, whether it is a fish,
any animal or a
human being. So angels are there. We also do have the interaction with the jinn as well. Like the angels were there when Adam was created, Satan was there when Adam was created.
Right.
Satan actually was there with the angels. Satan was not an angel, and this is a big mistake that a lot of Muslims assume, and somehow they have taken this from the people of the book, but Satan was a jinni. He is a jinni, and he was a jinni. And Surah Al-Kahf, actually, if you recite the context of the the story of the prostration of the angels to Adam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared that Satan was from the jinn. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ.
Okay.
So Satan representing the jinn was there also when Adam alayhi salam was created.
Okay.
We also read that when we're born, when we come into this world, every newborn, shaitan actually strikes the side of that person. That is why babies do cry. Except Maryam and her son, Isa alayhi salam, because of the supplication of Hannah, when she said, وَإِنِّي أُعِيدُهَا بِكَ وَذُرِّيَّتَهَا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. And I seek refuge with you, O Allah, against the cursed Satan, on her and her offspring. That's why Maryam and Isa alayhi salam did not cry when Allah they were born. But every newborn, they do cry. Even so, this is unseen to us. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam explained this to us. Well, hadith Sahih Muslim, hadith Abi Hurairah, wa Musannaf Abdul Razzaq, that Satan actually strikes the baby in the side. And we know that at the time of death, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam made supplication, I seek refuge with you that shaitan, Satan, does not mess up with me at the time of death.
Subhanallah.
So the interaction is there. The interaction is there. You know, we read also in the hadith that every day in the morning when we wake up from a sleep, if we remember Allah, an angel will follow you. If we do not remember Allah, a jinni will follow you. So the text is there. Anyone who denies this is simply someone who is unaware of the consequences of this denial, that you're belying the Quran. And we have a whole chapter. We have a whole chapter in the Quran called al-jinn.
Okay.
Al-jinn. And if you read throughout the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you find out that the angels are mentioned as well. So you can deny them.
Thank you, Sheikh. I think most of our viewers have a better understanding of angels, but can you explain exactly what jinn are for people that may not know, or who may mock, non-Muslims may mock the concept? Can you explain what jinn are? They are an alternate creation by Allah, or what exactly are jinn?
Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi hadith Aisha radiyallahu anha, Umm al-Mu'mineen, the mother of the believers, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with our mother. He mentioned al-hadith sahih al-Imam Muslim that khuliqatil al-mala'ikatu min nur. Angels were created from light.
Great. Okay.
Wa khuliqa al-jannu min marijin min nar. And the jinn kind were created from a flameless fire.
Subhanallah.
وَخُلِقَ آدَمُ مِمَّا ذُكِرَ لَكُمْ. And Adam was created the way that it was explained in the Quran. Clay, mud with clay, and then dirt with water, then clay, stages, as it was explained in the Quran. Angels do not have the freedom of choice, the free will.
Right. They obey the commands of Allah.
لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. يَخَافُونَ رَبَّهُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. Angels do not have a choice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would command them to do something unwillingly. They do not have a choice. Here is the thing that is shared between us and jinn, that jinn do have the freedom of choice.
Oh, this is a big point.
That jinn actually, that's why, وَأَنَّا مِنَّا الصَّالِحُونَ وَمِنَّا دُونَ ذَلِكَ كُنَّا طَرَائِقَ قِدَدًا. This is actually in the tongue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stating this in the tongues of the jinn, that some of us are righteous and some of us are not. Oh. And we actually vary in ranks. Like there are people who are so righteous, there are people who are less righteous.
Similar to human
beings. Very similar to human being. Likewise, right. Wicked, extremely wicked. Not all the jinn are alike once it comes to believing and once it comes to disbelieving. So they do have the freedom of choice. This is why, by the way, a lot of the scholars, when they explain that verse, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. Remember when your Lord said to the angels, I'm going to place a vicegerent into earth. Immediately the angels said, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. How are you going to do this? Are you going to make another
creation who will shed blood and corrupt earth. A lot of the scholars, they say, how did the angels conclude this? They said because the jinn existed in earth Allah. Before Adam. And they did possess the freedom of choice. And this is what is meant by the word vijern, that they are free to choose. So now, are you going to make another creation who will do like the jinn?
Right.
Because in reality, the jinn existed in earth before Adam. We know for a fact that the jinn were created before Adam. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِنْ حَمَئٍ مَسْنُونَ وَالْجَانَّ خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ قَبْلٍ. Indeed, we created Adam from so and so and so. And look at this. And the jinn were created before Adam.
Right.
Now, they tell you that the jinn were so wicked in earth, but Satan was the most pious and righteous of them. Imagine this. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated him, that he was seated with the angels.
During the creation of Adam.
Before the creation of Adam. But again, that elevation or that status which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon him caused him to have arrogance and pride. And Allah knew this. And that is one of the purpose of the creation of Adam, is as a way of testing for Satan.
Okay.
To get that
pride out. Sheikh, I'm sorry to interrupt you in this wonderful story here, this explanation rather, of the creation of the jinn. We have to take a quick look at this report, which will speak about the subject, and hopefully we can come back, take your thoughts on the report, and then can continue your thoughts, inshallah. You guys at home, stay tuned to Hasten to Goodness. We're going to take a quick look at this report, and we will be right back, inshallah.
If all the devils are chained during the month of Ramadan, how come people continue to commit sins?
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam, ala Rasulillah, wa ala Ali wa sahbihi ajmain. And I do agree with you, this is a common question. And I remember several years back when I was in school and when I heard this hadith that the devils are chained in the month of Ramadan, immediately the question that came to my mind and the question that comes to many Muslims' mind and many non-Muslims is that if the devils are chained, then how do human beings yet commit sins? This question is based on the hadith of Allah, which I mentioned earlier, a Sahih hadith of Musnad Ahmad, volume number 2, page number 230, hadith number 7148, which is also repeated in Sunan Nisa'i, chapter number 5, hadith number 2106, where the beloved Prophet said that, O people, the blessed month of Ramadan is approaching. And Allah has ordained for you that you fast in this month. And the gates of heaven will be open in this month, and the gates of hell will be closed. And the devils will be chained. In this month is a night, which is better than 1,000 months. And a person who is deprived of the blessing in this month is truly a deprived person. So when we get this hadith, it clearly mentions that in this month of Ramadan, the devils will be chained. And it's a logical question. If devils are chained, then how do human beings yet commit sins? To make the people understand, we have to realize that when the devils are chained, it does not mean that the devils are slain. They have been killed. They are yet present, but they are chained. They are not killed. The power is yet there, but it is diminished. For a better understanding, I like to give you an example that when there is a lion or a tiger who is free, there are high chances that he may kill you. Your life is in danger. But the moment that tiger or that lion is chained, you are safe. You are safe as long as you maintain a safe distance. After the tiger has been chained, if you come too close to him, there are chances yet you can be killed. So as long as you maintain that distance from the tiger who is chained, you are safe. Similarly, in the month of Ramadan, if you maintain a safe distance from the Satan, you will be saved. And if you read the Quran, Allah says in Surah Baqarah, chapter 2, verse number 168. Be careful of the khutwat to shaitan, of the footsteps of the devil, for he is to you an avowed enemy. Many places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that be careful of the footsteps of the devil. Allah doesn't say that be careful of the devil, because a normal Muslim, an average Muslim who has average iman, when he sees the devil in front of him, he will be careful. For example, suppose there's a young girl who comes to an average Muslim, a young boy, who has average iman. If a young girl comes and tells him that let's spend the night together, that Muslim will say, spending the night together with a girl is haram, it is zina. He will immediately object. But that same girl, if that girl phones that young boy and speaks to him on the phone, the boy will say, speaking to a girl on the phone, there is no problem. So he speaks to the girl for a few times on the phone for a few minutes. Later on, the girl says, let's go and have some snacks in McDonald's on Kentucky Fried Chicken. Having snacks for a few minutes, for half an hour, with a girl in McDonald's, no problem. So he goes and has snacks with the girl in McDonald's. Later on, the girl says, why not have dinner in a restaurant? Having dinner with a girl in a restaurant for a couple of hours, no problem. Then the girl says, why not spend the night together? And then the boy says, spending the night together with a girl, no problem. So this is khutwat to shaitan, footsteps of the devil. This is not mentioned in the Quran, this is just my own example. So what Allah warns us is that be careful of the khutwat to shaitan, the footsteps of the devil. If the devil comes directly in front of an average Muslim who has iman, he will abstain. He will run away from it. But the khutwat to shaitan are the things which are dangerous. So what we have to realize, when the devil is chained, his footsteps are restricted. So many of the sins are prevented. But if we go close to him, then the chances that we'll be overtaken by the devil and commit a sin are very high. So what we have to be careful, that in Ramadan, if we keep the distance, then the chance of committing sin is less. But if we go close to the Satan, even though he's chained, like how a tiger can walk even after he's chained, same the devil. So this is my understanding. When the beloved Prophet said, the devils are chained, the devil can yet move. But less distance. So if we keep the distance, we'll be safe. The second reason that I feel is that in the month of Ramadan, though the devils are...
Goodness, you guys, please let me give you a reminder. Give us a call. We are live. We'll put those phone numbers on your screen, inshallah. Sheikh Kareem, that was Dr. Zakir Naik speaking about devils, the devils, in fact, and he explained that very thoroughly, I believe. So hopefully we can continue our discussion regarding jinn, because I didn't
interrupt
you.
I think the important thing about the report, the fact that in Ramadan, there is a relationship between Ramadan and the devils, the fact that the devils are chained.
Okay.
And there is a relationship between Ramadan and the angels, the night of Al-Qadr.
Yeah, great point.
Angels descend.
Yeah.
I think that's an outstanding point
made
in the report. Yes.
Sheikh, before the report, you were speaking about the creation of jinn, and in fact, they are the creation of Allah, created before Adam,
right,
and Satan was from the jinn, and they created wickedness on earth, and so forth. Would you like to continue your thoughts regarding that? I thought that was very interesting.
I was trying to establish that you cannot deny the existence of those two races.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Sheikh. We have our brother Muhammad from Egypt.
Right.
Assalamu alaikum, brother Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum, brother. How are you?
We're doing very well, alhamdulillah. Nice to hear from you, brother. Go ahead.
I welcome Sheikh Abu Zaid. And my question is, could you guys be very fast? The question I would say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad and congratulations to the all Ummah, to all nations. So it's Ramadan and Ramadan entrance. So what, my question is, if it's useful to read Baqarah at home, and how to read Baqarah for the people who are not Arabic? And this is my question.
Hey, Brother Muhammad, can you repeat your question and speak up, brother? I'm sorry.
Yeah, my question is how we use Surah Al-Baqarah and how none of the people get benefits from the Surah Al-Baqarah.
Surah Al-Baqarah, and what was the other surah?
Yes.
I'm sorry, but one more time. You said, go ahead, one more time. Speak up, I'm sorry.
How beneficial is Surah Al-Baqarah?
Okay, yes, thank you. I got your question. How effective is reciting Surah Al-Baqarah against the negative effects of jinn? Would you like to answer this now, Sheikh, or do you want to complete what you
said? Yeah, well, I think we'll just keep the questions and we'll answer them
all at once. Okay.
All at once, inshallah. Okay. I think we need to establish here that the existence of the two races, jinn and angels, is something that is known from the religion by necessity.
Okay.
And
there's no debate about that.
There is no debate. Okay. It's not something that we cannot, we cannot even subject the matter to our discussion. We must. You have no choice. Okay. You must believe in the existence of the two races.
Okay.
No question about it. But I think the other end of this, mm-hmm. especially once it comes to jinn in particular, is blaming anything that happens to us on jinn.
Right.
I think that's another mistake.
That's an overreaction.
Yes. The reaction here that anything that goes wrong and it's a jinni because of a jinni.
I'm depressed or I lost my
I'm depressed because of a jinni. And of course, jinn do have an impact on us, on our lives. But not every single thing that happens is because of a jinni. It could be actually triggered by, medical reasons or so forth.
And that's why you always, you mentioned on your show, let's talk about it, you always direct people to medical treatment and also the religious prescriptions of du'a and supplications. Sheikh, I know you want to teach us the tools to protect yourselves against jinn, but this begs the question, jinns do have a negative or positive effect on us?
Absolutely.
How can this be? Can they see us? We don't see them.
Well, we need to understand that Satan mobilizes the forces from jinn to harm us, to inflict harm upon us.
Okay, and before we complete your thought here, Sheikh, I'm sorry. I want to go to Brother Muhammad from Somalia on the phone. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Muhammad. Thank you for calling.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You and Sheikh Kareem, I am just getting you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my friend.
Alaykum salam.
Alaykum salam, brother. May Allah bless you. Thank you for your phone call. Brother, do you have any questions for the Sheikh?
Yes. I have just called you recently, and I have just asked you that if somebody is a Muslim, and then become a Muslim, and then you have given me the answer. But today I have three questions.
Okay, go ahead, brother. Yeah, raise your voice and go ahead and ask your questions.
The first question is that my friend and met his mother and two sisters to become Muslims. Allahu Akbar. That's a very good answer.
Mashallah. That's good news, mashallah. So your friend helped another...
And then now he's asking me that the relationship between his mother and his father, is it diminished or is still they have another chance?
I think I got your question on that.
Yeah.
And then the father is still a Christian. And okay, that's the first question. The second question is that can I decorate on my home the Yasin and the Ayah Kursi on my home? Is it acceptable in Islamic?
Yeah, it's hanging Ayah Kursi.
Okay. And your third question, Brother Muhammad from Somalia, go ahead. Or that's all your questions?
Okay, and the third question is that I have kept one for Ramadan, so how can I return it? And I know that after Ramadan I must do something because I was very sick. So in the end of the Ramadan, I will fast, and then what shall I else do?
Okay, brother, inshallah. I think I got all your questions. We'll answer those, inshallah, in this episode, inshallah. So stay tuned, brother.
Yeah, let's take care of the questions before they pile up. So the question of Brother Muhammad regarding Surah Al-Baqarah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that whosoever recites Surah Al-Baqarah in his home, the devil will be kicked out.
Okay, great.
And sorcerers have no
effect on you.
Effect on
Allahu
you
Akbar. Okay,
when you recite Surah Al-Baqarah and
okay.
So it's very and in it there is the verse of al-sihr, which is واتبعوا ما تتلو الشياطين على ملك سليمان and آية الكرسي as well. So it's definitely
a tool that
can protect you and protect your home in general from the devils.
Sheikh, before we go to the break, would you like to answer Brother Muhammad from Somalia's three questions?
Sure.
Okay, the first one, go ahead.
First of all, we want to say Jazakallah khair on this brother.
He's working hard.
MashaAllah, the work of Dawah is beautiful. Yeah. I think some of the viewers may not be aware of what he's saying. I guess he has a friend who is helping non-Muslims or letting non-Muslims know about Islam. And alhamdulillah, Allah is blessing his work that he got already the second one accepting Islam. Right. So alhamdulillah, that's good news. I think the second one was...
The father is still Christian. The mother can accept Islam.
Yeah, but he just need to try. I mean...
Yeah, okay.
But the mother accepted Islam.
I believe that's what he said, but the father didn't.
That's a very trying
situation.
Situation because Allah separation has to happen in the near future if he doesn't accept
perhaps
it.
The man will accept Islam now.
Inshallah.
Yeah, that's what we hope for.
Just make dua.
Okay.
You never know. But I think I heard him talking about Ayatul Kursi hanging.
Yes.
You see, there is a debate with the scholars regarding using the Quran as a decoration. Like you hang in verses from the Quran. Some of the people said, based on your intention, hopefully you're just hanging the verse there to reflect upon it every time that you enter into the room. But if the intention that the Quran is used for means of decorating the house, this is a bad intention. But to come out of the gray area, there is no need for that.
Oh, yeah.
Did you understand what I said?
Yeah, thank you. To come out of the gray area, there's no need for that.
Come out of the gray area because...
Thank you, Sheikh.
You know...
It's a way to get out of the
area. It's a way to leave that.
Yeah, thank you, Sheikh. Thank you so much. You guys stay tuned for more Hasten to Goodness. We're talking about jinn and angels and the effect that they have on human beings in this month of Ramadan and all throughout the year. So stay tuned for more after this break. Welcome back to Hasten to Goodness. Give us a call. We are live. We're speaking about jinns and angels and the effect that they have on our lives. Sheikh Kareem, before the break, you were speaking about the negative effects that jinn can have on our life. And this is something alarming to parents, to people in general. It almost creates fear. So can you briefly speak about the negative effects that they can have on you and the remedy for... indeed, Allah protects us from this. What tools did He give us?
Well... First of all, we need to realize that the animosity of Satan towards Adam and his offspring is crystal clear. Inna shaytana lakum aduun fattakhiduhu aduwa. Indeed, Satan is your enemy. Treat him as your enemy. Now, Satan mobilizes or uses the forces at his hand.
Right.
From his own race, the wicked, from the jinn.
Yes.
Because we know that jinn are not alike like the human. There are Muslim jinn and there are non-Muslim jinn.
You mean not like angels?
Angels are all good. Alike. They are all good.
Okay.
But jinn are different.
Okay.
وَأَنَّ مِنَّ الْمُسْلِمُونَ وَمِنَّ الْقَاسِطُونَ. And like we said before the break, that they actually vary regarding their righteousness and piety.
Just like people.
Actually, some of them are bid'ah. They follow bid'ah.
Yeah.
Some of them...
Are disbelievers. Some are believers. Some are...
And some of them are Muslims who are in the wrong path too. Like they follow bid'ah.
Just like human
innovation,
beings.
Like the human beings. Like, you know, so... now, Satan uses both forces... from the human being, the human shayateen, the people whom wickedness became. Rasulullah SAW actually expressed this in a very eloquent way that he said there are people who will have the bodies of human, but their hearts are hearts of Satan's. أجسامهم أجسام الإنس وقلوبهم قلوب الشياطين. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ عَدُوَّ شَيَاطِينَ الْإِنسِ وَالْجِنِّ. So there are both. So Satan uses both. What does Satan want? What is his agenda?
To distract you from the straight path.
He is very ambitious. His highest goal is to get you to disbelief. His goal is to make sure that you accompany him in hell for eternity. Because the fate of Satan is already determined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he will stay in hell for eternity. Now his job is to take
people with him
yeah. to stay for eternity. So the first thing that he works on us is to get us to commit shirk or disbelief. Now what if
he can get you on that?
Then he goes into the bid'ah. That you see, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, the second.
Yes.
That he distracts you from the bid'ah, from the sunnah, and he takes you to the innovation.
Okay.
And actually, bid'ah is more beloved to him than a major sin, because normally people who practice bid'ah, they believe in it. They believe it's the religion. Now, if he doesn't get you that way, then he gets you to commit major sins. This is three.
Okay.
If he doesn't get you to do this, then he gets you to do the minor sins. Then if he doesn't succeed there, he distracts you when you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
While you're praying,
while he just distracts you.
I'm going to take a quick phone call here, Sheikh, on that note here. We have a sister calling from the KSA. Assalamu alaikum, sister. Thank you for calling.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam, sister. Thank you for calling. And go ahead and ask your question.
I have a question. If Satan is only one who disobeyed Allah, how come he is able to conquer all of the offspring of Adam?
Okay.
I mean, how come he can do it all alone? That's it.
Yeah, well, that's a great question. Thank you, sister, for calling in. And I want to remind all of you to give us a call. Sheikh, would you like to answer the question before you continue?
I'm just curious to know what the question was.
I actually got this one. The phone was a little bit cracky there. But she said, Satan is just one. How can he affect all these people, millions of people, if he's just one? But in fact, what you're saying, he's not just one because he has mobilized many
people. He's one, but he is living all this time.
Right.
You see, we recycle.
Yeah.
You know, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he made that dua, Hadith ibn Abbas, fi kitab al-tawheed, that, oh Allah, you do not die, but jinn and ins do die. So all jinn do die. His race do die.
Okay.
And ins do die.
Right.
Except Satan. Satan is alive since Adam. So he's extremely experienced in misguiding.
Right.
People.
Allah has left him in this condition.
In this condition, and he is also very strategic in his planning.
Okay.
Like he's not, he doesn't have a short, he has a long-term plan.
Right.
And a short-term plan. And we sense this actually from Hadith Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma, that every single day, Satan, fi Sahih Imam Muslim, places his throne in water. And all his helpers from the jinni will come reporting to him. And he will say, "Man adalla al-yawma musliman albastahu al-taj." Whosoever does the best job in misguiding a Muslim today, I will crown him tonight.
Right.
Then the people will the jinni, his helpers from his race, will disperse. Then they will come at night to report their accomplishments for the day. And he would hear different reports. One of them would say, "I managed to whisper to that Muslim until he killed. I managed to whisper to that Muslim until he committed adultery, until he stole," and so forth. He say, good job. Until this one stands and say, "I did not leave the husband and wife until I separated them. I got them to divorce."
Right.
He will say, "Ni'ma, you are the one.
You did what
I'm looking for." Now the scholars, they say because of the long-term planning.
Right.
Because normally if there is a divorce, the children are weaker.
It's a long-term effect.
Children are brought up in an environment of divorced father and mother. They suffer psychological problems, easy to penetrate and attack.
Yes, certainly.
So he's very
active.
Active and smart in the sense, and he is very strategic. But I go back again to those goals of shaitan, just to be careful. Disbelief or shirk, that's number one. Number two, bid'ah, he loves for you to follow bid'ah. Major sin, actually bid'ah is more beloved to him, innovations are more beloved to him than a major sin. Major sin, committing major sins, adultery, killing and so forth, then the minor sins. Then he would distract your worship in a way. He would distract
whispering
your worship.
Whispering to you.
Whispering.
Discouraging you.
Discouraging you.
The sixth thing they say that he would, get you to do something that is less rewarding. Like, you know, the best thing that you can do on the day of Jum'ah is to recite Surah Al-Kahf.
Right.
You know, it's the best thing that, but he gets you to recite Al-Baqarah, for example. Just recite Al-Baqarah is much better. So
right,
he actually,
right,
yeah.
Right.
So this is just an example of, right. of
to leave off
Sunnah to leave off something that is more rewarding, better in reward,
right?
And settle for something that is less in reward.
Okay.
So he has an objective, he has a goal, and by the way, he doesn't come to you just I want you to disbelieve. No, he actually follows. He's very patient, and he follows the steps. Like he takes you from minor to major to bid'ah shirk and so forth.
So forth. Sheikh, we did mention that there are good jinn and there are some hadith in this regard. But before we get to that, perhaps you can share with us some specific supplications or methods of protecting our homes and our children and our family from these bad jinn.
If every single thing that we're to say, imagine this, everything. Before we enter the bathroom, imagine, we're supposed to say what? Allahumma, O Allah, I seek refuge with you from the male and the female jinn, because this is their dwellings, bathrooms. So actually you make this dua to protect yourselves from, before you take off your clothes. Hadith Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, when you say Bismillah, jinn do not look at you as if you place a barrier between you and jinn.
Right.
If you do not say Bismillah, jinn look at your aura. And so forth. Before we enter the house,
yes.
Imagine you have a jinni standing by the door. If you say Bismillah, he's not to enter.
As you open,
imagine he's standing next to you.
Yeah,
you say Bismillah,
yeah.
He doesn't enter.
If you don't say it?
If you don't, I got a place to stay tonight. And you start eating. If you don't say Bismillah, I got dinner too.
That's a great point, Sheikh.
All of these are authentic hadith.
Yeah.
So all of these were meant to protect us from jinn. Okay. And this is the importance of the adhkar which we make. Imagine when we go out of the house. Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an adil, aw udal, aw azil, aw uzal, aw adlim, aw udlam, aw ajhal, aw ujal alayh. One of the satans, one of the jinni will say to the other jinn, there is nothing I can do to this man.
Yes, yes, alhamdulillah.
Kufit, you're protected. There is nothing I can do against you. All the adhkar were meant to prevent their impact, negative impact on us. Listen, overall, I think blaming every single thing or every single thing that goes wrong in our lives on jinn is a mistake. But it is real.
Right.
Provided that you are not worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not a servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The moment that you're worshipping Allah and you're sticking to the deen, they have no control over you. They have no authority over you.
And that's the point that after we take this phone call, I would like perhaps for you to hammer down.
Sure.
Okay. You guys, brother Majdi from Egypt. Assalamu alaikum, brother. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Actually, I have a small question. How can I differentiate between a psychological disease and between a mess or touch from shaitan?
One more time, brother. I'm sorry. One more time.
Okay. How can I differentiate between a psychological disease and a touch or mess from shaitan?
That's a great question, brother. Thank you.
Jazakallah khair.
Jazakallah
khair, brother Majid. It's a very good question. First of all, when people come to learn people in the religion, and they say, Sheikh, I'm possessed. This is what is meant by mess.
Right.
I'm possessed by a jinni. Immediately, right away, brother, go to the doctor. Right away. You go to the doctor. You do all these scans. You do all these
tests. Right.
And yet you're still suffering. And you found no medical whatsoever reason for what you're experiencing, then right away we assume that it's a mess.
Okay.
That person is possessed or that person is being affected by certain jinni.
And this could be treated by adhkar, Sheikh? Or?
Adhkar. That's all you can do. But provided, wallahi, Malik, sometimes the best way, by the way,
to receive treatment is you. But here's sometimes when people come to me personally and say, Sheikh, can you do the adhkar on me? I ask them this question. Do you pray five times? Normally the answer is no.
SubhanAllah.
Because normally the people who get touched by, most of the time, yani, we don't want to,
Quite often
the people who get possessed by jinni are people who do not pray.
Because they're weakening men.
They are weakening because Satan doesn't go
right,
into...
It's easy target.
It's easy target. And that's why a man, when you... You see, shaitan, hadith that we shared earlier regarding the importance of dhikr, shaitan is chasing us every time that you remember Allah as if you entered into a fortified fort.
Yes, yeah, subhanAllah.
But when the remembrance of Allah is not there, there is nothing that you can do. Shaitan is going to be. So right away, I ask him, go pray five times and do the adhkar in yourself.
Okay.
Recite the adhkar yourself.
Okay.
Treat yourself. This is the best way to do it.
Sheikh, we only have a minute left. I don't want the viewers to be scared. What I'm trying to say, I guess, is should we fear jinn? But we say we only fear Allah. So as a believer,
I don't
how
know.
Can we address this?
It's 1 minute, but you're going to have to give me time to tell that story quickly.
Okay, go ahead, Sheikh.
There was this town. It's a story that Al-Hasan al-Basri said, just to show you what. People started worshipping the tree, a tree in that town. And there was a righteous man in that tree. So the man wanted to enjoy good and forbid evil. So he decided to go at night and cut the tree.
Yes.
Satan didn't like that. So Satan waited for him and he said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to cut the tree because it's haram.
Yes.
Satan beat him up. So they got into a battle and Satan, no, you're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. And they, you know, they went into a fight. The man defeated Satan. Now, Satan tried to trick him. He said, listen, I have an idea. You go back home and every day I'll give you 2 dinar. I'll give you 2 golden coins. You stay at home and forget about this deal.
Yes, right.
So that's a good idea. I'll go home and just worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he actually delivered the 2 golden coins twice, 2 days in a row, but the third day he did not. So the man got motivated again to go and cut the tree. So he went to cut the tree. Satan received him. Where are you going? He said, I'm going to cut the tree. He said, no, you're not. So they got in a fight. But this time Satan defeated the man. So the man looked at him and he said, how come I defeated you the first time and the second time you defeated me? He said, because the first time you were fighting me for Allah.
SubhanAllah.
But the second time you were fighting me for the money.
SubhanAllah.
So whenever you are with Allah, Satan has no authority over you.
Yes.
Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. When you have strong faith in Allah, tawheed in Allah and iman, and you're implementing the commands and you're staying away from the haram, إِنَّ عِبَادِي لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلَيْهُمْ سُلْطَانِ. Indeed, my servants, you have no authority whatsoever over them.
Thank you, Sheikh Kareem, for ending on that beautiful note. And you guys at home, I certainly hope you benefited from this live edition of Hasten to Goodness. I look forward to seeing you guys tomorrow, inshallah. So until then, we leave you in the care of Allah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.